Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Standish, Michigan, and earned a BA in English, History, and Philosophy from the University of Michigan, and an MBA from Harvard Business School. He worked for Squash Busters in Boston for 7 years. Since 2010, he's been the founding executive director of Racket Up Detroit, which combines squash instruction and competition, academic tutoring and enrichment, community service, mentoring, and summer opportunities to support and empower Detroit youth. His name, Derek Aguirre, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the founding executive director of Racket Up Detroit, Derek Aguirre. Derek, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, thanks for having me. Really glad to have an opportunity to talk today.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Sure. I was born in Bay City, Michigan, and grew up in Standish, which is a small farming community in northern Michigan, about 2 hours north of Detroit. It was a great place to grow up. Made wonderful friends, played a lot of sports, had the freedom to study and succeed in school, and had great parents. And credit my family with the opportunities I've had in life. My dad was born in Mexico, raised in Texas, and farming brought he and his parents, my grandparents, and my dad's nine siblings to Michigan. They would come up in the summers and, in fact, work for a farmer in around Standish. And one year, one of his older sisters decided to stay. She fell in love with the farmer's son and stuck around, and then the rest of the family kind of followed suit. There was a lot more opportunity in Michigan, and that brought our family to northern Michigan. The auto industry was really a source of opportunity for my dad. He became a tool and die maker and worked for General Motors in Bay City for 30 years, and brought us a lot of opportunity, stability with our family, and really a wonderful, wonderful life. My mom was born in Bay City like me and grew up there. She had humble beginnings and with a father who was a commercial fisherman, and a mother who raised her and her brother, my uncle. And she and my dad met, and Standish was where they landed. And my mom was really the source of, I would say, my brothers and my passion for learning and education. She, in the summers, we would play school. She would set up the living room and give us workbooks and motivate us with rewards and keep us on task. And she and my dad were wonderful parents. They taught us to be humble, to work hard, and appreciate every opportunity we had, and I think most importantly, to do what we could to help others.
You earned a BA in English, History, and Philosophy from the University of Michigan, and then you go to Harvard Business School from Bay City, Standish. Here you've got an immigrant dad, and your two brothers went to Harvard Medical School. Derek, that's impossible. How did that happen?
Well, I give a lot of credit to my brothers. They were two grades ahead of me in school, and they really saw no excuses for doing less than we could, doing less than the best. So they always set the bar very high as athletes and as students. And they were the first in our family to go to University of Michigan. They're identical twins. They went 2 years ahead of me, and it just demonstrated that keep studying, keep working hard, and doors will open. And I followed them. I went out to University of Michigan and really am passionate about U of M. It's a portal to opportunity for people from all over the state of Michigan, really all over the world. But for us from a small town with one school, you know, it just opened the world to us. And then they both continued to think big and were able to earn their MD PhDs at Harvard. And I followed them to Boston for other reasons. I found a job in the city of Boston that really tipped off this career of mine that's now been 17 years of working with young people in public schools in cities. And I feel fortunate to, again, have seen doors open and have had the support to walk through them and to keep going.
You've focused on squash. Most listeners tonight would say that squash is something that other people eat. What is squash?
So when I started working for the organization in Boston called Squash Busters, I was kind of asking the same questions. I got an interview. I applied to go work there and be the head of their academic program to help students outside of school to succeed in school. So I had to hurry up and Google squash myself and understand the difference between racquetball and squash and between the vegetable and the sport. And I learned along the way. It is a sport. It's a wonderful sport that came from England many years ago. And unfortunately, I would say for most of us, it kind of got stuck in private schools, in downtown business clubs, in circles where not everyone had access. So that was an issue that the organization I worked for in Boston and Rack It Up here in Detroit hoped to address. The sport itself is very much like racquetball, which is much more familiar here in the United States. You play with two people on a court, and you are trying to make your opponent run, tire out, make mistakes before you do. So you get one bounce of the ball on the floor between the time that your opponent hit it to the front wall and the time that you hit it to the front wall. After you hit it, you've got to get out of the way. If you hit the lines or if you hit what's called the tin on the front wall, it's out of bounds and you lose the point. And it is a real test of stamina, of strength, endurance, mental acuity, focus, will. It's a wonderful game for teaching a lot of lessons to young people, and that's why we think it's a great vehicle here in Detroit.
We're talking to Derek Aguirre, and from 2002 to 2008, he worked for Squash Busters, which was the mothership, the first such program in America out of Boston. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about Squash Busters. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Derek Aguirre. From 2002 to 2008, he was program director of Squash Busters out of Boston, Derek. It was formed in 1995 by Greg Zaff. It was the first such program in America. Tell us about Squash Busters.
My first exposure to Squash Busters was on the internet. I was looking for jobs, and I found a posting to go and work with young people in Boston from the public schools to help them succeed in school. And it happened that the hook to draw those students in was the sport of squash. So I knew very little about it, but quickly was immersed in the sport and most importantly, immersed in an approach to youth development that I found to be really game-changing. The approach is pretty simple. You engage a group of young people and their families at a relatively young age, wrap experiences around them that are going to be eye-opening and expand their horizons, and you stay with them for many years. And the focus on a sport promotes health and lots of great character lessons. The focus on academics demonstrates to the students that education is a key to opportunity in life. And that combination really resonated for me as someone who had played sports and studied and saw doors open for myself. So I gravitated toward it. I spent 6 years working there, got to essentially apprentice under the founder of this movement, and I'm still close with him today. And in fact, he helped us to start Racket Up Detroit 9 years ago here in Detroit.
If you want to learn more, www.racketup.org. Derek, what did those 6 years teach you?
I think I learned a lot of patience. I learned to take the long view and to really value relationships first and foremost. That if you focus on relationships with young people and you let them develop over time and you think about the whole process of engaging young people as a developmental process, then really great things are possible. Outcomes for them in life and wonderful experiences. You know, some of my best friends are people I worked with and the young people that I supported when I was in Boston. And that's what we've tried to build here in Detroit, is a relationship-focused effort that really feels like a community.
Okay, from 2008 to 2010, you go to Harvard Business School, you graduate with an MBA. Your fellow classmates are going to become managing partners of the Big Four, McKinsey, presidents of Fortune 50 companies, senators, governors. That's not the path you've taken. Derek, why not?
I'm grateful I did not. I feel very fortunate to be able to do what I do. There are days when I get to meet with leaders in the community who are very generous and want to support the work we're doing. And then an hour later, I could be in my shorts on the squash court playing squash with a kid. And that diversity of experience, the diversity of people that I get to spend time with, and the opportunity that I have to inspire and energize and motivate people for what's happening in Detroit, that is, I would take that over a company car any day. And we do joke that, you know, I was probably one of very few Harvard Business School grads that year that went and got a chauffeur's license to drive a 15-passenger bus, but I did, and had a lot of good times driving across the Midwest to squash tournaments and college visits with our kids.
We're talking to Derek Aguirre, who had never played squash till he was 22 years old. So you come to Detroit and you decide, I'm going to duplicate Squash Busters. We're going to call it Racket Up Detroit. Tell us, what did it take to get the program off the ground in Detroit?
So the interesting thing is that wherever there is a squash community in the U.S., and there are many, most major cities have some avid group of squash players that promote the sport and enjoy it. And Detroit was no exception. Detroit has a long history of squash and a very storied history with great success. And, you know, there were major tournaments that used to happen here, and there's still in the region probably 500 avid players. So I share that because there was an interest in Detroit well before I got here, to try and use the sport as a vehicle to promote the education of kids in Detroit. I was fortunate to get to use that energy of the community to create what we've created. I say we because Greg Zaff, who started the Squash Busters program in 1995, was the first board chair of Racket Up Detroit. He was flying back and forth from Boston to help us get this off the ground. And he rallied a group of, again, supporters who were already starting to put the pieces together to have an initiative like this in Detroit. Walter Orline, George Haggerty, folks who are well-known in the community for their squash efforts, Dr. Mehul Mehta, who had started to sort of poke around and see, first of all, where are there courts that we might be able to use? What schools could we potentially partner with? Where would we locate this, and how would we raise money to sustain it? And Greg had the vision of this model spreading around the country, and it already had started to. There were nine programs in other places when Racket Up Detroit started. We were number 10. And so I was in the fortunate position to bring what I learned from Boston here in terms of how to run a program, how to engage the community. That was the part that I was experienced in and excited about and knowledgeable about. The fundraising and organizational development and external facing piece I had to learn, and it's been a lot of learning.
You decided to use the Northwest Activity Center, 18100 Myers Road, which is a city-owned community center. It's much more than a rec center.
The Northwest Activity Center, it's a little strange for me to explain to the listeners because it is a community hub that's been here since the 50s, and most people know it in Detroit. It was originally the Jewish Community Center when it was built and was for a good number of years, and eventually as demographics and communities changed in Detroit, it became owned by the city of Detroit, and since then has been a really historic anchor for the community in Northwest Detroit. It has a beautiful swimming pool, a full gymnasium where I hear the Pistons used to practice. It has 7 racquetball and squash courts, many multi-purpose spaces that are used for baby showers and birthday parties, and there's a bank, there's a salon, there's an art gallery. The Northwest Activity Center it really stands alone in the city of Detroit as a hub for the community, and we are just fortunate to be able to partner with them to bring this program to the neighborhood.
We're talking to Derek Aguirre. When we come back, we're going to ask him specifically about Racket Up Detroit. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula, and we're with Derek Aguirre. Derek, the executive director of Racket Up Detroit since 2010. Tell us about Racket Up Detroit.
Racket Up Detroit is modeled after Squash Busters, the original what we call urban squash and education program. And we have followed, I think, a lot of the best practices of that organization and made it our own here in Detroit, put our own spin on it. And I think the core elements of the program are that it is not a drop-in program. When students join, they're expected to make a commitment. Their families are expected to make a commitment. It's 3 days a week throughout the school year, for the whole year, including summer programs. And when we initiate the relationship with a student and their family, we let them know that we hope they stay from fifth grade all the way through high school graduation. Even then, we'll support them as they go off to college and career. So that's the second aspect, is that it is very long-term. I think that that's a core element to our approach to youth development. We know that the development takes time, and young people need a committed group of positive adults around them and positive peers around them for many years to stay on the right track. The third element is that this is holistic. It's not a sports program. It's not a tutoring program. It's many things all in the same place and meant to inspire and hopefully help young people connect the dots. We visit colleges. Every student does 2 or 3 visits a year. So over 8 years, you can just do the math and see that they're seeing a lot of various potential futures. We go to many of Detroit's cultural amenities. We this year took 40 students to see the Alvin Ailey performance at the Opera House, which is a very special opportunity for our students. And then in the summers, we make sure that they have inspiring enrichment opportunities. We run our own summer programs at Northwest Activity Center, but we send kids to outdoor adventure camps, squash training camps, accelerated academic programs. This summer we'll have a young girl at Hotchkiss School studying leadership. We've had young people go to Phillips Exeter Academy in Choate. And some of our students get pretty good at squash. And this summer, for example, we'll have our best female player is going to Stanford University to train. So that's a really exciting part of what we do, is expanding horizons, and the summer is a big part of that.
The program is open 6 days a week. If you want to learn more, www.racketup.org. 8 full-time staff. Each member comes 3 days a week. Half-time on the squash courts, half-time in education. And you're serving currently 100 kids, 50 boys, 50 girls. Derek, how do you pick the kids?
Well, the interesting thing about our recruitment approach is we go to the kids first. We do not take referrals from teachers or go to the families. We have an assembly in our partner schools, and we recruit from 4 schools: Schultz Academy, McDowell Prep Academy, University Yes Academy, and Detroit Achievement Academy, all on the Northwest side. We go into these schools, make a presentation, show our video, and try and have the interest bubble up from the students in 5th and 6th grade. We then come to their gym class, let them try and hit the squash ball and see if they connect with it, if they connect with the sport, if they enjoy it. And then if they're really interested, they have to get their parent, family member, to sign a permission slip to allow them to come to what we call tryouts. Now, tryouts is not about who's the fastest, who hits the ball most accurately, or who is doing the best in school. It's about attitude, effort, and desire to be there. Those are really the things that we look at, and we always tell the kids, those are in your hands. We actually don't care if you miss the squash ball. We don't care if you are having a hard time in school, as long as you're willing to try and work at it. And from there, we do go to the teachers and get their perspective. And the last thing we do is we meet with the families and make sure that they understand that this is not your average. It's not an after-school hangout. It's not a drop-in program. It requires commitment, and that we need everybody on board in order to succeed.
We're talking to Derek Aguirre, and I quote him now. He says, "Our program is all about kids stretching." Derek, one of the things they do is they must sign a membership agreement.
Yeah, it's important that everybody goes into this very intense experience with an idea of what they're getting into. So we have all the participants sign a membership agreement that spells out what our core values are, what we expect of them, and what we pledge to them in return. And the family members sign it, the staff member signs it, and the student signs it. And that's kind of our pact. And from there, we have a point of reference. We can say, if the going gets tough, we can say, now listen, we all sat down and we talked about this was going to be hard, and you've got to be committed to all aspects of the program. And, you know, that point of reference becomes really important when we're in the dead of winter and, you know, the homework is piling on and we're doing sprints on the squash courts. So we think that's a key aspect of setting the relationship right from the beginning.
All right, you've got 100 great people and several graduates that are in major universities. Let's talk about a couple. First, Starnisha.
Starnisha was one of the first young people to put up her hand and say, I want to try this. She was in the 5th grade at McDowell, which is a neighborhood school. She was living in that neighborhood. And at the time, the first in her family to eventually attend college. No one in her family had played squash before. And she had that spark. In our view, the kids who are willing to try new things are the ones who are going to get the most out of this program, and that's Starnisha. And it has carried through in the 8 years she spent in our program from 5th grade to 12th grade. She went everywhere. She was hungry for those opportunities to go away and learn and be challenged. And she excelled in the squash court. She excelled in school. She attended University High School in Ferndale, graduated with some distinction, and earned herself a spot at St. Lawrence University in upstate New York, which happens to have a squash team. And she played in the top 5 on that squash team in her freshman year, which she just finished. She's learning the ropes. Academically, she's certainly being challenged and is more committed than ever to earning her degree. And she'll tell you that it's about inspiring her younger siblings and showing them that it's possible.
Karan Davis.
Karan was another McDowell student in the fall of 2010, 5th grade, who, a quiet kid, interested in sports, and put his hand up and said, I'm going to give it a try. He tried out, he made the team, and like Starnesha, he did it all. He traveled to competitions across the country. He applied himself in school. He's also a graduate of University High School in Ferndale. And Karan, incidentally, was a core member of the boys' under-19 age division team that won the national championship in 2018. This is the first for a team from Detroit. We went to Harlem.
Wait, say that again?
This was a first.
They won a national championship?
They won the National Urban Squash Team Championship, which has been happening for probably closing in on 20 years. It had never been won by a team from Detroit. In fact, it was quite East Coast centric. So we had to go to Harlem, and we, in fact, beat the home team on their courts. And Karan was an anchor for that team. He won a decisive match. And in fact, he is now playing squash in college at Hobart and William Smith College in upstate New York. Like Starnesha, decided to take a leap, go far away from home, be in deeper waters academically than he had been in, and really to take a big swing. And Starnesha and Karan are nice examples of how if you apply yourself in the classroom and if you happen to take to the sport, this can really open doors. Now, not everyone is going to play college squash, but everyone will have an opportunity to take home the lessons of playing a sport and to connect the dots between being an athlete and being a student and how they reinforce each other.
We're talking to Derek Aguirre. When we come back, I want to ask him about angels. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Derek Aguirre. Rack It Up Detroit is a nonprofit urban youth development program which combines squash instruction and competition, academic tutoring and enrichment, community service, mentoring, and summer opportunities to support and empower Detroit youth. If you want to learn more, www.rackitup.org. Derek, do you believe in angels?
That's a great question.
Derek, you are an angel.
Well, that I don't believe in. But I will say that I think we all carry with us lessons and strength from people who've come before us. And I'm certainly the beneficiary of wonderful family and mentors and folks who have pushed me along and continue to support me today. And, you know, I hope that that's what we as an organization can do for kids here in Detroit, and that in turn they'll do that later on in their lives.
God uses all of us, if we allow, for us to be angels. And he has sent you some angels in this town. A mutual friend, Ted Galeri, the executive manager of the DAC, who, by the way, thinks the world of you. What has Ted and the DAC done for you and your kids?
Well, I do think the world of Ted. He has been a mentor to me. You know, I've been in a lot of places, and including Harvard Business School, and I think I've told Ted this. I've never seen an organization or a physical place as well run as his Detroit Athletic Club. And I'm fortunate to be a member there and really experience it and most importantly, build relationships with so many people there who have stepped up to help Rack It Up Detroit succeed, not just squash players. Now, the squash community at the DAC has embraced us and been incredibly generous financially and in kind, but the broader membership who has recognized that this is really not about squash, that it's really about education and supporting kids in Detroit.
Another DAC member, Gene Labosco and his son Mike.
Gene is right up there for me as someone I would aspire to be like as I grow in my career. Gene is a real leader in this community. I was fortunate to see him honored by the Pope Francis Center recently and to hear him humbly remark about the people who came before him, and that's Gene. And he's teaching me, you know, every time I'm with him. And his son Mike has become, you know, a rising leader in the ranks of folks who are behind Racket Up Detroit. He has rallied a group of young leaders himself for our Young Leaders Council. He has helped us to build our annual campaign, the Double Down, into a major community event. He also happens to be a really good squash player, so that helps.
All right, we're talking to Derek Aguirre. Derek, what have the kids taught you?
You know, I think this is a lesson that I need to keep learning, which is to not take myself or my activities too seriously. Anytime I'm rushing around, you know, with a tie on, the kids will say, "Mr. Derek, why are you wearing a suit?" And I'll say, "That's a good question. And why am I not on the squash court with you?" And they bring a lot of humor to my life. They inspire me. I actually just came here today from the Cass Tech graduation at Ford Field. One of our seniors, a young lady named Yasmin, just graduated today. And she's heading off to Denison University. And I was incredibly inspired by her and her peers at Cass Tech. And that's the good fortune of the role that I'm in. I get to enjoy and celebrate all the positive things that young people in Detroit are doing every day.
How do you gauge the success of this program?
At the most basic level, our kids showing up. If we have more students wanting to enroll than we have space for, that's a good problem. It means the program is on to something, and that pushes us to try and do more and grow. If they're showing up regularly and with a smile and eager to get on the squash court and eager to have help in the classroom, that's a good sign. And, you know, ultimately, if we are able to build momentum in the community and grow and serve more kids eventually, that'll be a marker of continued success. We do want to be able to do more. And, you know, I think it's also just worth mentioning that we have a phenomenal group of staff working for the organization, many people who could be doing plenty of other things with their lives. University of Michigan, Wellesley, Stanford grads, a former British squash champion, and a phenomenal group of people. And if we can attract and keep people like that, we're also on the right track.
Okay, let's go back to January 21st, 2018. And that was the night that you won, your team won the first national title. It was in Brooklyn. Derek, when you put your head on the pillow that night, what did you think?
I thought we have to make a big deal out of this. And I'm not the kind of person who typically makes a big deal out of accomplishments, but I felt like it was very important to let the world know that this was possible. And I would say we first played that tournament in the winter of 2012, and we kind of got our butts kicked. And from that year forward, I would share with the students the list of the national championship teams: Harlem, Boston, Connecticut, over and over and over. And I said to them, "I'm just not sure it's possible for a team from Detroit to win this title. You know, we're the first public school kids in this city to be playing squash, and you know they've got their own facilities and they've got private coaches." And I gave all these excuses, and I pushed them to think of the. To run out of excuses and think about why not. And so when we won it, you know, the mayor gave us a commendation. The local news program came out and did a story. We had a big party because I wanted to make sure that everybody recognized that we did something that we did not think was possible years before.
What's your biggest need right now?
So we're 9 years old, and we have a phenomenal base of support in Detroit and around Detroit. We've got real traction in the community. We've got 100 kids in the program, 15 in college, another 7 joining them after this year. We've got a loyal group of families behind us, great staff. I think our biggest need is to rally support for what's next. And that's our ability to grow and serve more kids eventually. We've seen this happen in our sister programs in other cities. Eventually, when they reach a stable point, which is where we are, they plan for the future, and that's what we're thinking about now. And the success of our vision long term is going to be about people stepping up to volunteer, people stepping up to contribute financially, and people stepping up to help open more doors for our organization, for our kids, for our organization. Those three things keep happening, and we will have a very bright future here in Detroit.
If you want to learn more, www.rackitup.org. Speaking of volunteering, how much time do I have to commit to in a week, and what qualifications do I need?
We need volunteers to help in the classroom in particular. That is a big need of ours. And we ask an interested volunteer to give us approximately 2 hours a week. And if they can come on the same day, they'll get to see the same kids and build a relationship in it. And that's at the core of the experience. We also need help on the squash courts. That's a little harder to find. But if there are squash players out there who didn't know about this and have some time to come and help coach, you'll have the backing of very talented coaching staff. And we could use your help.
With 1 minute to go tonight, last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners?
Well, that's a great question. I would say take big swings. You know, if you don't have a large goal that makes you a little bit anxious and nervous and intimidates you, you're probably going to sell yourself short, because there really are opportunities and resources to support people here in Detroit and beyond to achieve what they want to achieve, but you got to have that goal first, and I would say take a big swing, and you'll probably surprise yourself at what's possible.
Derek Aguirre, you are an angel every day. Keep up the great, great work, you and your team.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.
Believe in yourself.